Let's go. Okay. First, thank you to Shmuel and Nira for having us here. Not your first time, but should be zochet to be Marvitz Torah and host Torah for many years to come, and have many opportunities to do so. Thank you to Shmuel for starting us off first little shir. And I just wanted to start by saying that we've had a number of different shiurim about Purim itself, including some of my own about different aspects of the halachos of Purim. So I thought that that this time we would do something related to not specifically Purim but to Tanis Esther, and Rosh Shmuel actually did something also which is related to Purim but even more Parsha Zachar. This year Tanis Esther is a few days before Purim, and Parsha Zachar is ahead of us. It hasn't happened yet. Usually it's a few days between Zachar and Purim. This year, because of the scheduling, so it's a good opportunity to speak about these things that we don't always get a chance to talk about here. The rest of the halachos of Purim and the other topics are all in the link that I sent out today. Has the link to all the shiurim over the past couple of years that we've had for about Purim specifically. So please feel free to go take listen to them if you have time. Okay. So Tanis Esther, right? Where is Tanis Esther from? Where does it say that we have to fast on Tanis Esther? Anybody know? Where does it say that we have to fast on Tanis Esther?
Well, in the Megillah itself.
Do you have to fast? That's the first question. Do you have to fast?
I've guessed Gemara Tanis.
Okay. Do you know where? Are you just guessing? Or are you?
I'm totally guessing.
This Megillah Tanis or something.
Okay. I'm not going to ask if you can point to a specific quote. Go on. Yeah, okay. Maybe.
Megillah Tanis is a list of days you're not allowed to fast on. So.
Right, that is right. That's a good opposite. That actually does come up. But.
There we go.
So there's the problem here. So it's actually not, well, yeah, it could be Purim Torah. The real thing or Shmuel is getting at here, I don't know if you meant it, but if you didn't mean it, so I'll say it. Megillah Tanis actually says that you're not allowed to fast the day before the holidays that are mentioned there. So we don't keep almost all those holidays today. But the problem is that Purim and Hanukkah are mentioned there. Those are the two holidays that we do keep today. And we say that we do accept the halachos of Megillah Tanis. That actually creates even more of a problem. Because if you are accepting Purim as still being, you know, the what Megillah Tanis says, that it's a happy day and you can't eulogize on that day, no espadim, etc., etc. If you accept that you can't fast the day before Purim, then again this year we're fine because this year it's muktam, it's a few days early. But how do you ever have Tanis Esther? Okay, uh-huh. So that's a good question, right? You raise a good point. I don't know if you meant it or not. Yeah, so that's a real question. Okay, and the Rishon mentioned that point. All right, so Josh, you said something about the Megillah.
Well,
what does it say?
It says that Esther fasted for 3 days. It doesn't say we have to fast,
well,
but it does say that it's sort of...
Okay.
Let's hope it's not based on that.
What's that?
Let's hope it's not based on that.
We don't want 3 days, right?
And it was during trouble. Pesach.
The fact that they went to war, that on the day that they actually went to war, they declared a fast day, or Yom Teshuvah.
Good. Where does it say that?
In the Gemara.
No. Good try.
Rashi.
No. Okay. What'd you say? Chachamim.
Chazal.
No. Not quite. Okay. So good. So we've identified here that we don't quite know exactly what the source is for Tanis Esther. Even though we're making fun, none of what you said was wrong. But it's not clear. Okay, this is the first point about Tanis Esther, that it does not say directly in the Megillah that we fast on Tanis Esther. Okay, that's clear, obviously. It does say that Esther fasted. They fasted for 3 days, but that, of course, as you mentioned, was in Nisan. Okay, that was even on Pesach, which is why Chazal say famously over there that they maybe did something wrong. Maybe they shouldn't have fasted on Pesach, you know, whatever the story is, but it wasn't now. It wasn't another. Okay. In the Gemara.
Better than eating matzah.
Okay. It depends on how your digestive system works, right? For some people, maybe it's better. What?
How are you allowed to fast in Adar?
What's wrong with fasting in Adar?
Adar is supposed to be one of the
same. You're right. Oh, so it's the same question. It's all the same question. Where did Tanis Esther come from? Once you understand the basis and where it comes from, you can sort of appreciate how it would get around some of these problems. Okay. So basically what happens is like this. The Gemara itself also never says you have to fast on Tanis Esther. It never talks about Tanis Esther. The first mention that we have directly of Tanis Esther, and by the way, just mention, just give credit as due. I didn't get everything from here, but some of this stuff is from this Purim, this book, Hilchos Purim by Rav Rimon, which I mentioned, I think, on Friday night at the Kiel Tishul. I'll say it again in English this time. It's an excellent book. Really, really good. I happen to have had notes on quite a bit of this stuff myself also. But Rav Rimon is really good at organizing everything and putting the sheepas in order. Really, really helpful. So he points out here as well that Rav Achai Gaon, okay, one of the Gaonim, is the first one to actually mention Tanis Esther as being an actual day. Okay.
It's a Rishon?
Yeah, he's one of the Gaonim. So it's early, but it's not the Gemara, it's not the Megillah. Okay. He says, Tanis, okay, a fast day, all right, meaning it says we read the Megillah on the 14th and the 15th. But a Tanis, he says, everywhere, all the cities, the unwalled cities, the walled cities, Kulam Mis'anim Mishlosha Sarbadar, they all fast on the 13th day of Adar. Okay? How do we know that? So he actually makes a deal from the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't say it straight out, but the Gemara on Daf Beis Amud Aleph in Megillah, anybody who ever learned Megillah did this Gemara because it's on the first Daf. So even if you didn't finish Megillah, hopefully the first Daf you got to. Okay? It says here, it's asking about how do we know which days you can read the Megillah and which days you cannot read the Megillah, because the Mishnah says you can read the Megillah already from the 11th of Adar. Again, we don't do that today, but in theory, in those times, that was allowed. And it may have some practical implications as well. We're not going to go into it now. But the Gemara asks about which days, the Gemara quotes Pesukim from the Megillah to try to prove how many days you can include it. It talks about the word Bizmanehem in their days, and whatever the diuk is. The Gemara asks, do you need a drasha for the 13th day of Adar? Is that one of the days that you need to include with a special pasuk telling you that you can read the Megillah on that day? And the Gemara says, no, you don't need, because Rav Shmuel Yitzchak says, Yud Gimel Zman Kihila La Kolhi. Mm-hmm. It's a day of Kihila, okay, of gathering together, La Kol, for everybody. So it's clear you can read the Megillah on that day, because in theory, again, if you have to come early, again, all the story, if you remember all the story with the people that live in the villages and they don't have a Megillah reading on the day, so they can read it earlier, if Monday or Thursday comes out, you know, on Yud Gimel. So that's not necessary for a special pasuk to teach you that, because it's already considered Zman Ki Lalakol, the idea of gathering for everybody. So comes along Rav Achai Gaon and basically says, that's what it means when it says Zman Ki Lalakol, that basically everybody in the Megillah on the 13th day of Adar, what happens on the 13th day of Adar? It says, Shara Yudim, Hashem Gino Samadach, Nikhalu V'amod Al Nafshal, B'yom Shlasha Asar L'Chodesh Adar. All the Jews and all the other places in the Malchut of Achashverosh, they gathered together, Nikhalu, and they stood up for themselves. They fought for their lives, basically. On which day? On the 13th day of Adar. And then he says, My Kila, what does Kila mean? What does this gathering mean, according to the Shulchan? It means Yom Tanis, the day of a fast day. This, what he does is he derives from the Gemara this idea of kila, of gathering together. That refers to a fast. It's not explicit in the Gemara, but that's what he says. And that's where most of the Rishonim say. And there's a range of ideas here. But basically, the main idea from the Gemara they come up with is that one. There are some hands that actually say it's Medivrei Kabbalah. From the Megillah itself, it talks about in the Perek Tet, when they instituted Purim, it says Divrei Hatzomot V'Zakatam also, the words about fasting and crying out. And there are some Rishonim that actually say that is actually a source already from the time of the Megillah to institute Tanis Esther, not just Midrabanan or even less than that, but actually Medivrei Kabbalah, the same status as Purim itself, meaning of being from the times of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah or the Nevi'im or whatever.
But we're saying in the times of the Gaonim, it seems
the first time that it's mentioned like explicitly
mentioned,
is the time of the
Gaonim. It seems like it's mentioned as a guess, not as, oh, this is what we do.
Rav Achai Gaon is reporting a practice that probably already existed. But it's not clear when it started. That's what we do. That's what we do.
Okay,
the question is, how long before him did it start? That's what's not clear. It doesn't say in the Gemara about it. So either it started in the time of the Gaonim, or it was something that already existed beforehand, but it wasn't obligatory. All I'm pointing out is that some Rishonim actually say, even though it's not in the Gemara, from the Megillah, it already has a source of Divrei Hatzomot V'Zakatam, and that's what it means when it says that, and therefore it's Divrei Kabbalah, which is even more severe. Most Rishonim do not say that. Okay, most Rishonim say that it's either Midrabanan, or again, the really more accepted opinion is that it's just a minhag, because it's not mentioned in the Gemara. It's a custom. It's a binding custom, but it's a custom. Yeah.
You can have a Midrabanan that's not mentioned in the Gemara.
It's possible. I mean, again, they'll point to this Gemara. It says Man Kila Lakol, and they'll say, what does Kila mean? It means a fast day. But Kila doesn't really mean fasting. It means gathering together.
Yeah.
Okay, and it's based on the Megillah. They gather together to fight people. It doesn't say one must fast on Tanis Esther. Okay, especially when you have Megillah's Tanis saying you can't fast the day before Purim. Again, the answer is that we don't keep that Tzitzit, meaning we keep Purim itself, but we don't keep the other aspects of Megillas Tanis, of not fasting the day before. Anyway, so most Rishonim say that really it's a day of fasting, it's accepted, it's binding minhag, and a strong minhag, but it's only a minhag because it does not appear on the time of the Gemara. Okay, very nice. All right, let's accept that for now. The question is, what is the basis for the minhag? Meaning, why do we fast on Tanis Esther? What's the reason for instituting this minhag for whatever level it is, or halacha? So what do we say? So some of you already mentioned some ideas before. Let's try again now. Okay, what would be the possible reason for this fast?
Remember what they did in Purim.
Okay, what did they do?
Kehila, they gathered and they fasted.
They fasted, the same thing, they fasted on the 13th day of Adar?
No.
Doesn't say, right? Might they have fasted? Absolutely, but doesn't say that. Okay, so that's a question. That might be a suggestion. Any other ideas?
Calms everybody down.
For sure.
Yeah, we're all like, because there's like a lot of like levity in the air, you know. It's like a little bit.
Okay.
A little,
good.
You know.
Good. Calm before the storm, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're saying why the fasting, or are we fasting specifically on?
What's the reason for this? Fasting?
Why specifically on this day? I mean, why do they come up with this minhag or whatever it is to fast the day before Purim? What's their? We don't just make up traditions like that for no reason. What's the reason for it? Especially if we don't have a specific reference for it. So basically what I found here with my own notes and... What'd you say?
Awesome. Woke up in appetite.
That's what she meant, right? That's
right. Same it's all the way around, no? But happens afterwards.
Good, good, good. Okay. Good points. All good points. So I'll tell you what I came up with here, with my own notes and with a little help from Reverend Moan here. Basically, there's at least three or four different reasons why, from the Rishonim and the Parshim, why we fast on Tanis Esther. And based on what they say, we'll see what some of the significant points are. Okay, and we'll see what we come out with. Meaning, if you want to think about what the essence of the day is tomorrow, what should we be thinking during the day tomorrow? Is it a happy day? Is it a sad day? Is it a mournful day of Avelus? The other fast days we have on the calendar are usually like sad days where you're supposed to have a little bit of avelus. You're not supposed to be joyful. You're supposed to, there's questions about having weddings or music or things like that. The question is, do any of these things, and especially in your mind, what are they, do they apply on Tanis Esther? In terms of the halacha, so I'll just mention it very quickly now. Actually, maybe we'll wait till the end. I hope we'll have time. Some of the halacha issues. Okay. So the most accepted reason is the following. The most accepted reason why most of the Rishonim is what some of you said, that we fast because they fasted before they went out to war. Now, where does it say that they fasted? It doesn't really say in the Megillah. But basically what many of the Rishonim suggest is the following. They say, again, as we said before, the 13th day of Adar is the day that the Jews went out to war. Okay, they gathered together and they stood up for themselves. So we know from Amalek, Rav Shmuel mentioned, didn't mention this point, but he talked about Amalek. So the Gemara says that with the war with Amalek also, okay, the Gemara derives from some of the words in the section about Amalek in Parshat Mishal that we read before, that they actually, that at least some of the people there actually fasted. Okay, I don't remember if it says everybody fasted, or at least Moshe and Aaron and Hur definitely fasted. I think it says just those three fasted, if I remember correctly. But they say based on that, at the very least, those three, because they were the ones that were leading the people, so there is a concept of fasting before you go out to war. Why? Because you find this also, by the way, elsewhere in Tanakh, with Shaul and Yonasan and Shmuel Aleph, I think it's Perek Yedalad, and they're fighting against the Plishtim, and Shaul HaMelech declared a fast, said, don't eat by oath, which his son broke, and without realizing it, he declared, we can't eat. What's going on here? So same idea. It seems that they fasted, maybe not every time, but sometimes before they went out to war. Why are they trying to weaken the soldiers when they need to have full strength, right?
Dafkate would say the opposite.
You're right.
If you're on duty and it's Yom Kippur, you have to eat.
You're right. So I'm not going to argue with that. The question is, though, why did they not do that? I mean, why did they think that it was important to fast at all? And the answer seems to be, what would you guess?
Tshuva.
Yeah, meaning you need tshuva. I know if you're going out to a war, obviously it's a very important occasion, and there's a lot of consequences riding on what you're going to do. The most important thing to do is turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly, which can be done by fasting with tshuva, together, that's the way that you're going to win the war. Not by being the strongest, not by eating the most, but rather by turning towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, that's not going to argue with what we do today, because today we don't rely on Nisim Gluyim or whatever, but in terms of the concept, that's basically what happened. That's what a lot of the Rishonim say. They went out, they fasted before they went out to war at that time, and that's why we fast on Tanis Esther. Okay? So that's one reason. Number two, okay, some say that even though it's not really the right day, some people say that, based on what some of you said, the three-day fast by Pesach time, that's the reason why we fast also. Okay, you're not going to fast on Pesach, obviously. Okay, and the fast is related to Purim, so therefore, basically, we fast on Tanis Esther to remember the three-day fast that Esther and Mordechai instituted at the time of the Megillah for 3 days. Okay, same idea, which again is not fasting for the war, it's fasting against Haman's decree. But either way, it's a remembrance of those two fasts.
So you say Pesach, you're talking about Bahav?
No. The three, it says in the Megillah they fasted for three days around Pesach time. So we're remembering the fast, which according to this is not basically fasting before going to war. It's remembering the fast before to try to avert Haman's decree. Okay, similar idea, but not exactly the same.
So that's what really not to do with 15th of
Ramadan. Correct. We fast only this day only because it's close to Purim, so it makes more sense logically than around Pesach time, which has nothing to do with Purim then. Okay, number three, a third reason, this is very interesting, okay, is the Beis Yosef mentions in his sefer that he thinks he learned from the Maggid. Okay, Beis Yosef had a Maggid that came down to him at one point and taught him all sorts of interesting things. So in this point, he mentions also about Purim, that part of the reason that we fast on Purim, and some of you mentioned this before, is because we want to make sure that our Purim festivities, that our Purim celebration is L'shem Shamayim. Meaning that if you get carried away with Purim, then you may go into it and continue in the middle of Purim with the wrong intentions, and you may allow your gashmias to get the better of you. So comes along the Beis Yosef and the Maggid and basically say that this sort of puts ourselves in the right mood, gives ourselves the right mental attitude of looking at Purim as everything we do on Purim, which is great and it's high and it's wonderful, but it's all Shem Shemayim. How do we do that? By showing that the day before we don't eat anything. Okay, so the lashon of the Maggid, I think, is that it's done lachnia hayetzer, something like that. Okay, to subdue a yetzer hara. The yetzer hara might be excited about, you know, a day full of mishloach manot and eating and drinking and, you know, all this stuff. And today, the day of Tanis Esther, is the day to tell your yetzer hara, not so fast, buddy. Make sure that we're doing this for the right reason. And we do that by saying beforehand we're going to fast, put ourselves into the right mood. Okay, that's this point, and we'll come back to this actually in a minute. There's a very nice idea from the Dushan's lady about this, which we'll come back to.
Does that seem to be against the whole idea of Marvin Basimcha, though?
Maybe.
Marvin
we'll
Basimcha seems to be like a ramp going up, like you would say, like the day before Adar might be.
Okay, we'll get back to it. Okay, we'll get back to it. Okay. Number four, last point that they mentioned, I saw this also in a sefer called Turbar Kat. I don't even know what it is, I'm not familiar with it. But it's in a sefer called Mesilos, which has a lot of nice ideas in Hasidus. So he mentions there that this actually is similar to a line in Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, where they say that before the Torah was given in the desert, so the Jews fasted for 3 days. Okay, again, that's what the Pirkei de Rabbi says. Why do they fast? They fasted as preparation for Kabbalah Satorah. What do we do on Purim? Purim is also a day of Kabbalah Satorah. Kabbalah Satorah Me'ahava, right? We say that the Jews voluntarily accepted the Torah again by Purim time out of love rather than out of fear. So he says the same way they fasted before receiving the Torah, so too we should fast before Purim as preparation for our Kabbalah Satorah out of love on Purim. Okay, so those are the three or four reasons that we have for why we fast. Now the question is, let's take them and try to understand in a couple of minutes what we can gain out of them and how that affects what we should be thinking tomorrow. Okay. So number one, okay, when it comes to the Jews, I guess one and two together. Okay, if we're fasting because the Jews fasted either because before they went out to war or because of Haman's decree. Okay. Either way, why are we fasting every year? I mean, what happened at that time? Why do we have to fast now? How does it help us to fast now to remember what they fasted then? What's the idea? So the idea seems to be the following. Okay, two parts of this idea. Okay, number one is some of the Rishonim say, interestingly enough, I think this is either the Machzor or Vitri or the Meiri, they say that fasting is part of the Simcha. Okay, and this fits well, by the way, with the Beis Yosef, even though they're not really talking about that, but fasting is part of the Simcha, meaning when we fast, we're remembering the process of how the Simcha came about. If that's the case, then the fasting should really be a happy fast. That's basically what they say. It's Inyan de Purim, it's part of the same Takana. One of the Achronim suggests that it's actually part of the same Takana as Purim, is fasting as well. Again, it's a little bit extreme, but the idea is the same, that we celebrate Tanis Esther because we realize that the fasting that they did was part of the process of being redeemed, so we celebrate that point as part of the process. Okay? So that's very, very, very interesting. If you say that, then for sure on Tanis Esther is a happy day, and we should be excited. It's totally, you know, fine to be excited about that. At the same time, you have to remember that sometimes you know, you have to go through difficult times in order to get to the point where you are able to have the proper simcha. Meaning, you know, the result is going to be geula. In order to get there, you got to go through, you know, the difficult part. But you can do it out of a sense, according to this opinion, out of a sense of simcha, because you know where it's heading. The other side of that is, again, they're complementary, but they go together. The other side is that maybe the reason why we do it is to remember the tefillah, meaning to remember the difficult part of things, meaning not only because of simcha, but because we realize that in order to get to the conclusion of Geulah and Purim, you have to have the tefillah. Meaning they had to have this man ki lala kol. We need to go through the process of davening and of calling out to Hashem, and if we don't do that ourselves, then we can't merit to get to the high stage of Purim. Okay? Meaning that it's not just about simcha, it's about za'aka. It's a day of za'aka, of calling out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and davening to Hashem for what we need. The same way they daven to Hashem and Hashem saved them, so too we also have to realize that in order to be saved, in order to fuel our geula and to get to our Yeshua, we need to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for things that we need today. And, you know, just in terms of the idea of everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, the idea in general of simcha, of geula, we need to remember that that tefillah is part of that. Okay. So for both of those two aspects, it's not, it's clear, would you say that Tanis Esther is a day of Avelos or not a day of Avelos? Of mourning? Either of these two parts of it.
It's commemorative. Right. It's, the...
right, it's not mourning. Okay, it's about Simcha, and it's even more so about Za'ak, about crying out, about davening, which is also, by the way, an aspect of the other fast days as well. But here specifically, we highlight the idea of davening and calling out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and for everything we need today. And remember, that's always part of the process of Geula, has to be this this calling out and davening, and to remember that tefillah helps. Okay, tefillah in this situation really made the difference. Okay, as the Midrashim points out on Megillah Esther, the tefillah really helped to bring about the geula. For help us also, we should remember that tefillah is a very, very important part of our process of geula. And again, we spoke, I think, last year about this, about the idea of tefillah on Purim. The koach of tefillah on Purim is also very, very high and powerful. And certainly the day before also, Tanis Esther, also the koach of tefillah is very, very strong. Okay. In terms of the Beis Yosef's reason, so here also we have some important ideas to think about. And that is that it's preparation for Purim. Meaning Tanis Esther is preparation, the same way we prepare for other things. You can't appreciate Purim unless your mind is in the right place. Your mind is that everything I do on Purim is L'shem Shamayim. Okay, and how do I do that? I do that by fasting, by showing my Yetzer Hara that this is not something that I'm going to be in for the wrong reasons. And there's a very nice Kedushas Levi on this, where he points out basically that part of the idea here is that the Satan's going to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Purim and say, what are these Jews doing? Okay, they're getting drunk, they're going crazy, they're going tipsy, they're running all over the place like, you know, who knows what, not like normal, you know, Jewish people do. Hashem, punish them for it, okay? They're not in this for the spirituality, they're in this for the physicality. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, wait one second, Satan, okay? How can I prove to you that you're wrong? What are you going to say about what they all did on Tanis Esther? They all fasted. They were all busy with tefillah and za'aka. Where is that? That's definitely spiritual. If that's spiritual, so then obviously everything that comes afterwards is also spiritual. And according to the Kedushas Levi, the Satan is stopped. He's blocked. He has nothing else left to say. So that also, again, the idea of taking Tanis Esther and davening and pushing our spiritual buttons on Tanis Esther with the goal that, those spiritual buttons that we press, again, with the excitement of the Simcha, but also, you know, the fasting, is supposed to lead us into Purim, remembering that Purim is a day of physicality with the goal of spirituality. Okay, it's physicality, you know, trying to get up there, you know, drunk on ruchnius, even if you also have wine and everything else, but, you know, the goal is to get to the highest of the high in the ruchnius level as well. Okay. Same idea we said before about the Kabbalah Satorah is also hachana. You say that Purim, we fast because of Kabbalah Satorah, is preparation for Kabbalah Satorah. Here also, we want to think about what we're doing on Purim. If we accept the Torah, love on Purim, again, you know, the fasting is a way to concentrate on some of the spiritual ideas of accepting the Torah on Purim. We want to get to the point that we appreciate and we're ready, we're truly ready for the Kabbalah Satorah by focusing on that and not on our eating and not our gashmias on the day before. So basically, you know, we're not going to get into I guess we don't have so much time for the halachic things. I just mentioned very, very quickly in terms of the halachos. So because it's only a minhag, many poskim say that the Tanis Esther, you can break your fast a little more easily. You shouldn't l'chatchila. But if you're really not feeling well, even if it's not, you know, lying down in bed, but if you have a serious headache, not necessarily related to fasting, and there's a whole discussion which we're not going to get into now, but if you have a headache which is not because you're fasting, and if you eat 2 minutes later, your headache will be gone, but, you know, you have a serious headache, even if you're not lying down, it could be that on Tanis Esther you can be a little bit more makil about that. A few other aspects as well, especially this year where it's a muktam, so many of the poskim say if you have a bris on Thursday or other things like that, then you could be makil and you don't have to fast at all. You got other things that are, you know, relevant to Tanis Esther being a little bit less severe than the others. Let's sum up here. Okay, bottom line. Bottom line, what is Tanis Esther about? So bottom line is that Tanis Esther, as we said, is a day of Za'aka, of Tefillah. It's a day of Kihilah, of gathering together as a community. It's a day of preparing for Purim in many different realms. And it's a day of Simcha, of sealing that, you know, we understand where the end goal is going to be, and we're happy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has gotten us to this point, and we're going to sort of live through, you know, live through the process of the Geula, the way that it happened in the times of the Megillah, as the Rav Dessler says, that every time we go through a holiday, it's not just what happened back then, it's also happening right now. So Tanis Esther's opportunity now to feel the way the Jews felt at that time, before the Gezerah of Haman, and also before the war, to daven for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's health. So we also hopefully should get to the point that we're able to use Tanis Esther properly to prepare for Purim, prepare for Kabbalah Satorah, to prepare for our Simcha, for our to subdue our Yetzer Hara, everything we're going to do on Purim, and also to go for the Tefillah, to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything that we need. There's one of the Sfarim also that says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very happy when he sees the Jews on Tanis Esther davening together, saying Slichos v'tachanunim, and through this Ma'orim Rachamim Gedolim v'Pamal Shalmal, it causes, arouses great amount of mercy up in the heavenly court and the heavenly entourage. Rabbi Shimon with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you invoke, one of the Sfarim says, you invoke the Zchus of Esther and Mordechai, so that even helps even more. I think they have a delegation going to the Kfarim of Esther Mordechai in Iran right now, from what I understand, I think that's the last couple of years. Anyway, Bezer Hashem, we should be able to zocha to all these points and create our Tanis Esther as being a high occasion, and from that lead into Purim to be even higher, and be able to get to the heights of spirituality along with our Gashmias, and Bezer Hashem, Purim Sameach.